I find myself during these days, especially on the weekends, watching a lot of football. And it seems like when you're watching a game, everybody's got their own touchdown celebration. And that seems to really have exploded over the last 15 or 20 years. When a guy gets in the end zone, they've got to do their own little dance, or they've got their own ritual that they do when they score a touchdown. And I can't help but wonder, when Jesus is talking about, hey, look, I'm directing at these of you who are self-righteous, I got to wonder if that's the kind of culture that he's talking about. Because when people score a touchdown, it's not about, hey, let my play speak for itself, but let me show you that I'm putting on a show. And that's what our Lord does not want us to do. In fact, he tells us in the gospel today, he says, look, here's an example of two guys going to pray. One of them's a Pharisee. He goes in and he says, hey, look how great I am. I am awesome. I fast twice a week. I give tithes. I don't commit any sins whatsoever. And I'm especially not like this other guy that's in here, the tax collector. And then Jesus uses this an opportunity to show us what true humility is. But the tax collector is there, bowed down, beating his breast, saying, Lord, have mercy on me, for I am a sinner. And this is an important distinction for us to make in our lives, because there's a lot of things that the Pharisee and the tax collector, that they do different. First of all is what they do. The Pharisee spends his whole life understanding and teaching people about the law. And so he knows what it means to follow the law of the Lord. And the tax collector is well known around the area as a crook, as a thief. He's a tax collector. He's going to take my money. He's going to use it for himself. But when they come to pray, it's a different experience they have. Much different experience. The Pharisee lifts his head up, sticks out his chest, and he says, basically, I am the greatest. But that's not necessarily what our Lord wants, and it's not what's good for us. There are times in our lives where we feel like we need to share with others our accomplishments, or where we need to share with others about our foundational work, and we say, hey, look, this is why I'm qualified. But that's different than what the tax collector, or what the Pharisee is doing in this example. The Pharisee is saying, look how great I am. And he's not really in prayer. He's not really talking to God. He's talking about himself. While the tax collector on the other side, on the other hand, is making a sincere prayer before God, he's saying, Lord, I'm sorry. I need you. I love you. I want you in my life, and for the sins that I've committed, I'm sorry. That's what a true prayer sounds like. It's us saying to God from the bottom of our heart our needs, our desires, our wants. What the tax collector needed then in this parable is he needed mercy. He needed love. He needed forgiveness. And he needed God. He needed to know that God loved him no matter what. And it's the same for us in our lives. We can look at the experience of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and we can pray to the Lord and say, Lord, we want to be like the tax collector. We want to be able to bow our head before you and pray. Pray a sincere prayer and ask for your help and your mercy and your love, because we need you. And we also ask the Lord for the strength that we don't share our own greatness with the world. That we allow humility to shine in our lives. That we allow the accomplishments and the achievements and the character of our person to shine forth. So that we don't have to share with the whole world, hey, look how great I am. We probably all know people who are like the Pharisee. Who probably get on our nerves because we think they're conceited or they're arrogant or they're self-righteous. Nobody really likes that. So we're called to be like that tax collector, to say to God, I'm sorry, I need you, and I'm going to show humility here, that I'm nothing without you. In the second reading today, St. Paul gives us an example of what it means to live our lives for the Lord. Now, St. Paul's at the end of his life. He knows that he's going to be executed. He knows that his end is soon. And he could be, when he's writing to Timothy, he could say, hey, Lord Jesus, look how great I am. I want everybody to know how special and spectacular I am because of my works and because of all that I've done. But he doesn't do that. Instead, he says, I'm pouring out myself like a libation. I am a servant of the Lord who have given my life to him. And I am nothing without you, Lord, and I need your mercy and I need your love. That's an example for us in our prayer. That we come before the Lord because we need him, because we're short, because we are nothing without him. An important concept that I think that sometimes we misunderstand is the tax collector and humility. Because sometimes we come and we say, look, I'm nothing, I'm worthless, I'm no good. That's not humility. That's shame. And God doesn't want us to feel shame. He wants us to feel love. See, what the tax collector says is he doesn't say, Lord, I am worthless, I am nothing, I'm a worm that needs to be squished. He doesn't say that. He says, Lord, I need you. I am nothing without you. You see, my friends, we are made good. God made us. He created us. He made us for a purpose. We are not worthless. We are not unworthy of love. We are good. And so the distinction that we need to make is to understand that we are indeed loved, that there's nothing that we could ever do, there's no sin that we could ever commit that God won't forgive, because He loves us and we're special to Him. And so we need to keep that in mind, that when we bow our head before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, I need you, we need to remember too that we are, in essence, good, because we are God's sons and daughters and He made us and we're special to Him. And so as we reflect more deeply on this parable and how it applies to our life, we ask the Lord to help us to live out a true sense of humility, to be able to love our God through all things, through all troubles, through trials, through tribulations, that we may open our hearts as an expression of God's love, that we may come to Him more deeply and fall more in love with Him, that we may seek out His love and His forgiveness and His mercy in our lives. Now, this weekend, the church also declares this Priesthood Sunday. It's an opportunity for us, I guess, for a couple of things. First of all, to thank God for the influence of priests in our lives and the way that they've inspired us and have brought us Jesus and His love. And secondarily is to pray for an increase in vocations to the priesthood. Now, there's a lot of places, in the world and even in our own country, where there's not a priest to celebrate Sunday Mass because we just don't have enough young men to answer the call to serve the Lord. So on this Priesthood Sunday, we ask the Lord to inspire the hearts and the lives of young people that they may consider giving their life and love and service to the Lord. I've been a priest for almost 4.5 years, and it's a pretty awesome thing that I get to do, being able to bring Jesus to people, to celebrate the sacraments, to bring hope and joy into this sometimes dark world. And I can't think of anything else that I would rather do with my life, and I can't think of anything else I could do that would be more fun and more fulfilling. And so I would encourage any of you young people that if you're considering how you can help the Lord, how you can help the church, how you can help the world, consider giving your life and vocation and service to the Lord. And if you know of any young men that you think would be good candidates for priesthood, I'd encourage you to plant that seed, to say to them, hey, did you ever think about being a priest? Because we certainly need priests. If you're too nervous, too embarrassed to say that to somebody, let me know. Tell me, and I'll ask them. And I'll be happy to do that. I'll be happy to do that. Because we do. We need more priests. We need men to be able to say, I'm going to give my life in service to the Lord. Because for us, the sacraments are tremendously important. We want to be able to receive the Eucharist, to have our sins forgiven, to be anointed, to celebrate the wonderful sacraments of God's love in our lives. And so we need priests to be able to do that. So as we continue our prayers today, as we give glory to God for His gifts, we ask Him, first of all, to help us exhibit the gift of humility, that we may be like the tax collector that we heard about in the gospel, that we may open our hearts and our lives and our love to the Lord so that we may faithfully follow Him. And we also spend this Eucharistic celebration praying for priests, praying for those who give their lives in service to the Lord now, for their strength. We also pray for an increase in vocations to the priesthood, that young men may answer the call to serve the Lord. May the Lord's love continue to set our hearts on fire, that we may draw closer to Him and be open to all the ways that He touches our lives.